Hello, and welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you from Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is our dear friend, Bishop to the Nation, and our World Mission Director, Bishop Ron Webb. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Grace Street at Morningside, USA, please give a warm welcome to Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker. Welcome to our show.
Hi there, everybody.
And what a great show we have today.
Oh, it's exciting.
We have great music today.
Yes.
But anyhow, Bishop Ron Webb is in the house. Senior pastor of Mount Calvary Powerhouse Church.
Yeah.
In Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
That's right.
Oh, it's so good to see you again. How's all the family doing?
Family's all is well.
Lady Georgia.
You're going so busy. You know, you're considered to be a pastor to pastor.
Yes, he's a bishop to bishop.
Bishop to bishop. You're bishop, of course. You have other churches under you. But you are, I think you have the greatest books written.
Thank you.
And this new book is the best of all.
Yes.
It is. I'm telling you, everybody, you better get ready for this one.
He writes books that are not real long. They're not as long as most guys' books. But he says so much in so few pages. But it's something you can read. But Lori, what do you think of this book? I'll just ask you.
When I went into the green room and saw Bishop, I said, Bishop, I love all of your books. You know I do.
That's right.
And I love especially Leadership Behind the Scenes.
Yeah, it's a great book.
It's incredible. Everybody should read that book.
Every pastor should have that.
Anyone who's in leadership of any kind, you should get that book and read it. But then this came into my hands. Scar Wars. Everybody has been through something.
Yes.
Everybody has a scar of some way, shape, or form. And I'm not talking physical scars. I'm talking emotional scars, the things we've been through in life. And we are going to minister today in such a mighty way. You're going to be blown away. This is the best book yet. And
I don't know
how you could get any better than this, because you literally are touching he's literally not just touching the emotions of people, but the deep-seated answers to what God does.
Before we get into the book, I would just like you to read, if you would, in the front of your book, you have the table of contents.
Yes.
Could you give me the titles of your chapters, just so people will stay tuned? Now listen to me.
Yeah.
This is for you today, today. God spoke to me so strongly that he had a message for you.
Yes. Right.
And if you're you know who you is. You're who you are.
Yeah.
So, Bishop, I'll tell you what, I could weep almost just hearing the titles because I've gone through most of them, I think, this year.
Everyone has a scar story.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Scars of loneliness. So many people are dealing with the spirit of loneliness today.
Yeah.
Scars of losing a loved one.
Mm.
I just dealt with that personally.
You sure have.
This book was kind of birthed from that. The scars of humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
The scars of shame and guilt that people just can't shake.
That's right.
The scar of betrayal.
Oh.
All of us can deal. You know, have dealt with that one time or another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The scars of rape and molestation.
Mm-hmm.
The scars of offense and unforgiveness.
Wow. Mm.
That's the big one. Mm. It's hard for people
and
to let
really
go.
It really kills people.
It really does.
I know a beautiful woman who just ended up in a wheelchair and just withered up because she wouldn't forgive. And she just flat out would say, I will not forgive that person. And it just... the scars of that unforgiveness. If you could help us with that one today, that's going to be great.
Here's a big one, the next one. I love this one. I thought it was brilliant that you put this next one in.
The scar of regret.
Right.
I can't begin to tell you, as Christians that have made a mistake in the past and can't get over it, or still living with regret after 20, 30, 40 years of their life.
That's right.
And the devil torments them haunt them literally every day.
That's it.
And
right
if
on.
The truth be told, we all have regrets.
Sure.
If we could go back and change the hands of time, there are things that we would do different. But it's a part of life.
It is.
And then the scars of addiction. And we, you know, we're building now our fourth restoration center.
Woo!
And one of the things.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yes.
How's it coming?
It's really, really good. In fact, we just dedicated a new one in Poplar Bluff, which was the third one. And now the fourth one, it's about 95%. We have a couple here today. They're kind of helping me out, JR and Christina. And they're helping facilitate that.
Awesome.
And we have a few pictures today. And but we're about 95% completed with that building. But here's the thing, that after men and women have gone through the spirit of addiction, they have so many regrets. So many things they've done and so much pain they've caused with their family, and they live with that scar.
So true.
And then there's the scar of suicide. Just a year and a half ago, a couple years ago, I ended up preaching at least 7 funerals of suicide.
Wow.
In a span of 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was the most devastating thing I've ever dealt with in ministry.
Yeah.
And that spirit is running rampant.
It really is.
Yeah. Even during this era of COVID.
Yes.
You know, they've been talking about the veterans and how many commit suicide every day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on
because
when I was in prison, I was in a study. And the teacher there, a nun, was telling us about how many were committing suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I think it was even more back then.
Wow. And Pastor Jim, you're not going to believe this. This is amazing that you're saying this. I was interviewing some veterans because we have a veterans home for men and women now.
Yes.
Homeless veterans and veterans that suffer with PTSD. And also those that are dealing with substance abuse. And one of the veterans says to me, I can't get over the scars of war. And the book was named Scar Wars.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My man.
It's true.
Yes, yes. And then the scar of racism, which is so prevalent in our country today. And after a while, we won't be able to speak to one another because of skin tone. Well, there's the scars of real life and lived experiences that people have dealt with.
Yes.
And, but
that's right.
Forgiveness, thank God for forgiveness.
Yes.
It heals it all.
It really does.
And then finally, well, there's that's the scar of abortion.
Yes.
And that's dealing with regrets again.
That's right.
But you can be forgiven. People need to know.
Exactly.
You don't have to sit in a church carrying guilt, shame, and humiliation and regret. God forgives.
He does.
Yes.
And
Lord,
you
carried scars, you know.
I read every word
of
and
abortion.
I was like, boy,
you
put it
you when I married you.
Yes.
You weren't totally over your scars of abortion. You worked through it so much when you, but you would cry at night. I'd find you crying behind the door or somewhere, you know.
Because I've been through abortion.
Crying
yes.
for your babies.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you still are sad about it because you'll tell me once in a while you're thinking about the kids.
Sure.
But the scars have healed a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we're going to find out how to be healed from all of these scars, right?
Yes.
What's the final chapter?
It's called Dancing with the Scars.
I love it. It's just so perfect. This book is just perfect.
This
for
book
every
is
one
so
of us.
Fabulous.
Yes.
For everybody. We need it.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more I have thoughts even in dreams. About the past, even things that I did wrong when I was a boy.
Yeah.
And I think, oh my. And yet God says he doesn't remember our sins.
Right.
So I'm going to got a lot of questions for you today,
yes.
Bishop.
We keep remembering what God has forgotten.
Isn't yes. that the truth?
And, right. you know, when this book was written and sent to press, Jackie came in the office and she's helped me with all the books. And I remember the first book that was written. She said, this is going to be a bestseller, you know.
You're
then
right,
the second
Jackie.
One, she said, this is going right to be on. A bestseller. I said, Jackie, you say that about all of them. And then she came in and says, Pastor, I promise you, this book will outsell all of your books.
It's the
and she prophesied it. And guess what?
Praise
That's
God.
What's happening yeah. right now. We Amen. Cannot keep them in our office.
Yeah.
And wherever we go for revival, people are reaching for them at the
yes,
table.
Because we've all been through something, every single one of us.
Yes.
I mean, you can get it today for a gift of $20 if you want to order it ahead of time right now at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to get in on the phones right now than it is later on. So you can order. This is a great, great book.
Absolutely.
I need it.
It'll help heal you. It will. Yeah. It will help.
You know what's so funny is that COVID has magnified the scars
yes.
to the point where we don't recognize dad. Mm-hmm. We don't recognize mom. We don't recognize our neighbors. We don't recognize ourselves. And when we don't recognize ourselves, you realize you lost who you were born to be.
Right.
And we have, I know I have. I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of throughout my life surviving on a lot of these scars that you write about, because at some point, at least in the ghetto, in the inner city where I grew up, you become what you think you have become. Therefore, it becomes your identity.
Yeah.
And we walk throughout our whole life thinking that's who we are. And we live in survival mode.
Right.
But what you helped me, Bishop, on some of these areas is to release and let go.
Amen.
Therefore, I can be a dad. Therefore, I can be here with you, dad and mom, and try to be a good brother and a good employee and whatnot. But carrying that magnify, I cannot believe suicide. You wrote about suicide
yes.
because COVID has allowed us to see the insides of homes today.
Right.
And many people are committing suicide like never before.
Right.
We've never seen that in America before. It is being weaponized. It's being magnified like never before. Right. And you have written about the answers of how to deal with this. This is why we love you. This is why you are real.
Thank
and Dad always says, he is real. That's my friend.
Well, we're going to find out how to deal with these and to erase a lot of the damage that these scars have put into our lives.
Yes.
And that, how do we get rid of the scar even? Does the scar stay with us or what? Well, not right now.
Okay.
He's ready to go.
Because you brought with us one of your dear friends. Where's Chopper from?
Chopper is from Sherwood, right there at Little Rock, Arkansas. And I knew his father. I had the wonderful privilege of meeting his father, which absolutely loved you. And he's in heaven now. In fact, he has a scar story. His father just passed away about a month and a half ago. And but they absolutely love you. They build TV sets across the country, and they're into music. And but this young man is gifted. And he was there every night of a 9-day revival that only started out to be one night. And we ended up staying at First Assembly Trinity Assembly, and in fact, it's still going on.
Amen.
Massive crowds every night.
Wow.
People being saved, healed, and delivered. And he even helped play during those services. But
you're a pastor. You have two churches, and you travel all the time. You're out preaching. You're an evangelist, really.
Yes.
As well as a pastor. You never rest, I don't think. You're just going all the time.
Yes.
Amen.
We're just so happy to have
we
you
need
here.
It is an honor to be here, sir.
Wow.
You have been such an inspiration to literally millions across billions, probably over the decades.
Mm-hmm.
But you're especially an inspiration to me and my dad. As I look around at these sets, I can't tell you how many times my dad and I have built television studios just like this in Texas and Arkansas.
Wow.
And he was such a visionary, the small little cities with inside studios. It is amazing. And on April 17th, I stood by his bedside as I watched him make his last move. And it is an honor to be here. My grandmother used to watch you way back in the day. So he's with grandma now, and I've got a feeling they're probably just laughing like crazy.
Oh, I love it.
It is an honor to be here, sir.
How old is grandma? How old is grandma in heaven?
Well, grandma passed in 1987 at the age of 70. My dad just passed at 72, and he preached since he was 9 years old. Oh. I'm 44, and I preached my first sermon when I was 4, so this is all I've ever known is television and ministry.
Wow.
You know,
I just thought
as you were saying that, boy, everybody tells me, oh, my grandmother just loved you, Jim.
I knew he was going to say that.
And she was 110, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I really am old. I really am old.
Doesn't he remind you of baby Elvis? He really sounds like Elvis.
Oh, my God.
I won't do it today, but the next time he comes to the show, we have to get an Elvis. Can you just give us a little rendition?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I gotta know one thing. Where did you get your first name?
I wish it was from a helicopter or a Harley Davidson Hell's Angels group. But honestly, I was told all my life it was from Sylvester the Cat and Tweety Bird and a bulldog named Chopper. So every year, my dad and I, television, we would go to NAB, the big television broadcaster show.
Oh.
That's where my dad and I would go every year for 20-plus years. Well, one year, we go to Caesar's Palace into the Warner Brothers store, where they have all the lithographs of every character. Mm-hmm. I told my dad, I'm going to buy me the Chopper Bulldog hanging in my office. I go up and ask the lady. She goes through the whole roster. Sir, we don't have a Chopper. I literally had an identity crisis. Who am I? Come to find out, it was from Yogi Bear and Quacky the Duck. There was the bulldog named Chopper, so that's how I got it.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
What are you going to sing for us?
This song is called Ain't It Just Like the Lord. Mm. Hope you like some good, upbeat, peppy, kick-down music.
Yeah, we want to shut up. I need energy.
Shepherd boy can knock a giant down. All the mighty walls of Jericho tumble to the ground. It's impossible to think, harder to explain. Three boys are standing in the middle of a flame. But one thing I know is true, when nothing but a miracle will do, ain't it just like the Lord to do what can't be done? Ain't it just like the Lord? There's no way a mountain can be moved into the sea, but all things are possible to those who will believe. So in your time of trouble, don't listen to the doubt. Stand upon his promises and praise him anyhow. 'Cause when you know he's on your side, you can't help but testify. And it's just like the Lord to do what can't be done. Just like the Lord to make a way when there is none. Who but God can do the very things you're praying for? Ain't it just like the Lord? Ain't it
sir.
That song?
Yes, sir.
This is Chopper Ward.
Wow.
Pastor
Rock City.
Of
Rock City Harvest Church.
Rock City Harvest Church.
Yeah. Oh.
Amen. What
Amen.
Kind of church is that? It must rock, huh?
Spit, yes, sir. My daddy's told us if we couldn't have fun, we ain't going.
Yeah.
So it's non-denominational. My grandfather was missionary Baptist. My father was raised Assemblies of God. Never was ordained with them, but I don't know if I may be a German Shepherd. I'm not sure. Just it full of the Spirit.
But this was your daddy's church?
Yes, sir. In 1992, my dad and I, we planted the church. He was an evangelist. We traveled in a Greyhound bus. He converted with my mom and my sister. And we
Does he sing too?
What? Oh, he was the best friend a song ever had. You can look up his name, Arthur Ward. Phenomenal singer.
Yeah.
And he had a range that could hit the bass notes and hit the tenor notes, and he was phenomenal. Yeah. My hero, my mentor, my best friend, my daddy, my pastor, and now he's waiting on me. So
yeah. You're going to sing some more for us?
Yes.
We pray during this thing because Pastor or Bishop has some sermons to bring to us about this book. Scar Wars, and he's going to have them, you sing some songs in between as we go along about what he has to say. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Great to have you
Thank
here today.
You so much. We love you already. Isn't that great?
Wow.
Bishop, you're on our board of directors and been an important part of our lives, my life.
Yeah.
And you have been faithful during these struggling years. These last few years have been struggling. Been struggling for me, and I want to say thank you so much.
Thank you, Bishop.
I always tell people you're my best friend. So you know, you and I aren't friends, I ain't got no friends. I'm using bad language again, English. But
well, it's so amazing if you behind the scenes and. It, just in our, personal, private lives, if you could just see the times when Bishop will call Jim because he's just led at that moment, and it's always, I've never seen it fail one time for
almost
20
years.
But
it's crisis moment, isn't it?
Yes, there's always something happening. There's a crisis
moment. How do you do that?
Yes.
Well,
do you have radar?
Yeah. When the Lord lays you on my heart, that's a sign of being connected in the Spirit.
They are completely connected in the Spirit, big time.
And sometimes it's just to listen.
You know what we need to do again? You remember when we went to Mississippi River during the big Mississippi River flood?
Oh, we have a lot of stories of traveling with Bishop.
You kidnapped him. That's the true story.
And then we built a city.
Yes.
We rebuilt
the city back, Morehouse, Missouri.
Yeah.
That was flooded out.
And
totally.
The mayor came to our church and gave you a key to the city.
That's right.
And, you really did kidnap me. I want you to know. you tricked me in that van, and I ended up staying a whole week on the road.
We were going to Houston.
We were going to Houston,
people, right?
And
after the big
and
one.
So Pastor Jim says, don't worry about this guy. He's been a pilot for 62 years. And I'm thinking, 62 years, well, how old is he?
No.
He was only 100 and something years old.
I was thinking the same thing.
He's almost 90 years old.
Yeah.
And he had just had a heart attack. And so we're leaving Texas. And so somebody and I were conversing. And so Pastor Jim turns around and says, hey, quiet back there. He says, don't disturb the pilot. So I was trying to get his attention to tell him that the door was open.
That's right.
And so, but I didn't want to be disrespectful because, when Captain Jim says, hold it down, you hold it down. And so I said, Pastor Jim, he says, so somebody else was talking. He says, leave them alone. They're concentrating. The plane was starting to leave the runway, and the steps were still on the ground.
That's a true story.
So I just said, hey, Pastor Jim, the door is open, the steps. And he says, oh, my God.
True story.
I said, we'll never make it back to Branson.
Right. Mondo was on that plane. You were on that plane.
You remember that.
Mondo was on that plane. I was on that plane.
The spirit of cuss came on me. Listen, Mondo cussed. Okay? No, just teasing. But we need to write a book on our road trip. Some of the stuff we can't put in the book. Though, you know.
Oh, my.
Road trip with the bishop. We were at the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. Bishop, myself, bunch of crew. And Pastor Jim wants to test out the product. Listen, we got faith in our product, but that day we really have faith in our product. When we tell you that the Seychelles water bottle works, we're proof. We're still here. Bishop looks at me, he goes,
during the flood, when you're not supposed to even drink water, period, then we drank the water during the flood.
It's called the muddy Mississippi.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're dipping the
water bottle, the Seychelles water bottle.
The Seychelles water bottles, and he says, go ahead and drink it. And so Mondo and I are, I'm like, this is the Mississippi River. And he's broadcasting, oh, it's so safe. I'm thinking, you won't die. We're the one that's going to die. But we're still here. It works.
It works. Either that or you're really saved.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, my.
Oh, but we've had quite an adventures in our lifetime, and we went all the way down the Mississippi and all the different places where the...
Tornado. Yes.
We had quite a trip.
Yes. And I'm like, Pastor Jim, I have to go home now. He says, oh, just stay with us one more night. I said, well, I got to go home now.
Yeah. All the fun you can have, right? Yeah.
I don't even know how I got home.
No.
Did somebody come and fly home?
I don't remember.
I don't know if I flew home.
The Mississippi water had me.
But he was like, oh, no, we've got another week on the road. I was like, you have another week on the road. But Brumman's got to go.
But you've been so faithful to me during the... Those were pretty wild times, but this last year was the wildest time of all, you know, and you write about in your book, your son's passing.
Yes.
And, you know, the scars we all have.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have remained faithful.
You have. Yeah,
thank you.
It's amazing.
Through it all.
Yeah. It was probably the most difficult time in my life. And when you're there comforting other people, and you say, well, I'm praying for you, you know, I know what you're going through, but you really don't know what people are going through until you've experienced it.
That's exactly right.
But the Lord brought us through, and I need to give just an openly thank you for you and Lady Lori and Mondo. We had thousands of people there that day.
It was amazing.
But when you all walked through the door, my spirit lifted, and the words of comfort that you all offered to George and I was just absolutely amazing. So I want to thank you for that. But on the hill of that homegoing service, I ended up doing almost 15 other funerals that followed that.
After your sons.
Oh. And some of them were my friends, some was a pastor's grandson had committed suicide and hung himself, 15 years old, being bullied in school. And then another lady's son had passed and OD'd on drugs, and it was devastating. Then 3 months later, she goes out of town, comes home, finds her second son in the bathroom with a needle in his arm, had committed suicide. And so... there was like, I mean, I thought my world was crashing in, but God sustained me through that.
He really did.
But I didn't think I would be able to use my story to bring healing to someone else.
Yeah.
So.
But he did. And
scars, amen. I call it the treasure of transparency.
That's amen. It right there.
But in the church, we've learned to cover our scars. Mm-hmm. We don't want anyone to know. Mm-hmm. But if we were to interview our studio audience today, everybody has at least one scar story.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I would say more than
I have a lot. And yet, you know, being able to express them to people and they talk about it. I had a wife who... I'm sorry to say, I dump on her a lot of stuff that I have. And if I don't get it out,
I'm going to die. You know, you just can't bear it all alone.
Right.
And the scar wars are real wars.
Yes. Yes.
Recently on your social page, you said we want the crown wearing, but we don't want the cross bearing.
Mm.
Yes. You want to talk about that?
Yes. Well, we're in a generation now where people want power, prominence, position, and promotion, but they hate the process.
They sure do.
And this generation has not been processed. Mm-hmm. So it can't be cross wearing if there's no crown bearing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through it first. And being faithful in the times of adversity, and then God gets the glory out of that. And you know, you said a few moments ago, you alluded to in a low time in your life. We all have those times. But you don't need people when you're on top of the mountain.
Mm-mm.
You need them when the mountain's on top of you.
It's the truth. We're living it right now on a few different levels. Bishop, your timing couldn't be, you know, more perfect for us personally as a family and even as a ministry. And I mean, it's perfect what you're ministering to us today.
Praise God.
I want to show you this video with Larry Sparks talking about a false prophet that is in Christianity. And then I want you to comment on it. Would you do this? So let's watch this, please. Larry Sparks.
The Lord actually said, Larry, there is a real false prophet in the earth right now. I said, well, you better tell me who it is because number one, I don't want to publish him. Number two, I want to be able to raise the alarm. And I really felt the Holy Spirit say, the false prophet has a name and it's called progressive Christianity. And what is progressive Christianity? Here's my very simple definition. It basically wants to deconstruct the Bible to agree with the culturally progressive direction of culture. In other words, if culture decides that sin is okay, if culture legislates that immorality is okay, if the consensus of the population is ungodly and we decide, you know what, this behavior is fine, even though the Bible says this, surely the Bible is not the standard. Surely we are hence progressive Christianity. We are progressing, we're advancing, we are evolving, and therefore, the language they'll use, the Bible is a living book. Therefore, it has a lot of good stuff in it, but it is subject to change. It's like the Bible takes a knee to the direction of culture. So that would be my real, at least doing my best, give you a clear way of understanding it. It's when, bottom line, you see stuff in the Bible that's like pretty clear, black and white, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, and the direction of culture saying, but you know what? We are advancing and evolving beyond that. So we have to tweak and change the Bible to agree with the direction we're going. So I hope that makes it a little bit clear with some context.
Wow.
Bishop, why has progressive Christianity been allowed into the church? You understand what I mean?
Well, we've opened a door, and we're starting, there's no absolutes now.
Where That's right.
People have deviated from the Word of God. Paul says it like this. He says, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrines.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, but heap to themselves, having itching ears. Okay, and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said something interesting in the book of Galatians. He says, if anyone come to you preaching any other gospel other than what we preach, which is Christ and him crucified, let him be accursed. And notice what he said, even if an angel from heaven.
That's something. That's powerful.
Satan is an angel from heaven.
That's right.
But not of heaven.
That's right.
Wow.
That's powerful. That's right.
And right now, we've got these strange doctrines that's popping up today. And people say, well, you're your own God. Humanism.
Yeah.
And if it looks good, feel good, you just do it. And you know, you're your own God. I mean, but yeah, they've deviated from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so now truth is even from our pulpits it's being watered down.
They call it progressive, but it's not very progressive. Progressive Christianity speaks to many people who are looking for acceptance, approval, and comforting, especially after the past year. How can we show these people what the Bible says about the Lord being our strong tower.
Right, right. Well, it's the sign of the times. Yeah. It's the sign of the end age. Like right now, they're trying to turn the Bible into hate speech.
That's right. They sure
if you
are.
Preach
That's
about right. certain sins now or certain things, then the culture has accepted this. Yes. And so we want you to accept it. Well, the word of God ain't changing for nobody.
Amen.
That's right.
It
Amen.
Is what it
That's
is.
That's right. Yeah.
You know,
That's
not
right.
for me, not for you, not for anyone. The word of God is established in the earth. Mm-hmm. But this progressive Christianity, you know, it is. It's a culture now where everybody wants you to agree with what they're doing, even if it's wrong. Mm.
We're going to talk about some of the different kinds of scars you've written about. Most people think of physical scars. You know, I told people the other day, I have a scar on my heel from when I was born. Can you imagine? I'm 81 years old, and that scar is 81 years old on my heel. The whole heel is scar tissue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's there. It reminds me that I was burnt as a baby. And
in the incubator.
And I was a premature child, and you know, things. And I sometimes think that my birth is still has stayed with me. You know what I mean? And the trauma of being left alone because they had to cover me in a bassinet and couldn't breathe on me. And, you know, my mother had to leave me at the hospital and, you know, stuff like that. And you think, well, has that left scars on me? You know, everybody has scars of some kind, but physical scars. But there are others. Can you tell us the other types of scars that people suffer from?
Oh, there are inner scars. You know, I was thinking as I had written this book, I think this will kind of add merit to what you're saying. Scars on the soul and scars on the skin. Scars without and scars within.
Ooh.
Some have a story and some are unwritten. Some can be seen, and then some are hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's true.
So it's those hidden scars, the scars of the soul, where people have learned to smile. I've always said that all the stars are not in Hollywood.
That's right.
A lot of them go to church. And if Hollywood needed some help, they could go to the church, because we've learned to say it's all right, even when it's all wrong.
That's right. That's
because we're in a judgmental society, and even that spirit has infiltrated in the church. People can't really tell you how they really feel.
I think people are more painful today, more in pain, more burdened down with things that the enemy, and I think sometimes being locked in with COVID-19, just gave us time to think.
Right.
I know being in bed a lot, I've thought about a lot of things. And it'd be reminded, I'm just shocked how we can remember all of our sins.
Yes, yes.
You know, no, we're not supposed to, we're not even to think about them, the Bible says.
Well, so many people live with a spirit of guilt shame and humiliation. Mm-hmm. And I can't begin to tell you, the people that have read the book have called back and say, I've been dealing with humiliation. Mm-hmm. I've been dealing with regrets for all of my life. And then they'll say, I know God has forgiven me, but maybe I'm having problems forgiving myself.
That's it.
And maybe that's a teaching that needs to go forth.
It has to.
Because when you're forgiving, and what you're saying, you're opening up a whole new dialogue, because we're so used to seeing scars on people.
Yeah.
And they are conversation pieces. Hey, what happened to you right here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a scar on your hand. Yeah. And that opens up, amen, for you to share your testimony.
That's right.
Scars are testimonies of what used to be, but what is now.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about it. Mm-hmm. But see, there's a war within.
Yes.
And that's where the pain that people are dealing with today. Mm-hmm. And now, at five or six of those funerals, I had family members come up and said, why couldn't I detect little Johnny? I mean, they were just here for dinner yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just saw them a few days ago.
Right.
And looked like everything was all right, because we've learned how to hide things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
See, it's the scars within. That's what's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is why when the word of God goes forth and the altar calls, and some of our team was with us this week helping us during the altar calls, and you can go back and watch these services because they taped all the, there were literally hundreds in the altar screaming out, crying for deliverance because of the scars within. But if you saw them on the outside, they look perfect.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, they're dressed to the nine, everything's fine.
Yeah.
But inwardly, and so when you discuss issues like this about scars, it opens people up.
It really does.
This book is so powerful, so important for you right now.
Yes.
I want you to order a copy for your friends. This is you that are a missionaries. You ought to get
everybody needs
the Baker's
to,
Dozen
if
even
you can,
and pass them
I would,
out if you
I,
can.
Yeah,
or,
I would say
or
that.
Or the Lori 3.
Yeah, I would do the Baker, call it the Lori Baker's Dozen. I would get several of these if you could, Baker's Dozens, because you could, that's 13 books for $100, and that all includes shipping and handling. You have no idea when you read this book how it could set people free in such a powerful way. And, you know, I've read every word. I could highlight every word. I have things highlighted, but I had to stop my highlighting because, like, my goodness, it's, yes. And it, and you have a lot of word in here, a lot of scripture in here. And you know, you go into all the scars. I mean, you know, I immediately went to the scars of abortion. I wanted to see what you said about it because I've lived it. I've been there. I understand it. And you said something that was so fascinating to me on the very first page. This is talking about one of the scars. Of all the days in a year, Mother's Day, that remember, we're talking about the scars of abortion. Mother's Day is a sad, even scary time for women who have had abortions.
Yeah.
I literally just dropped the book and went, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Only women who have been through abortion know how hard Mother's Day is. When you really allow yourself to go there. It's a, you know, I've always celebrated my mother, and thank God she's still with us, fighting for her life right now. But when you talked about Mother's Day being a sad, scary time, and that's just one, I mean, that's one
and
of many.
There's not a woman that I've ever met that didn't have scars from abortion.
No, me either. And I've ministered to tens of thousands of them. They carry guilt for what they did. And you talk about guilt and shame in another chapter. Shame that they made that choice. And I love how you talked about in the other chapter the difference between guilt and shame, because it's not the same when people try to, you know. And God, and they fear that God cannot forgive them for such a grievous sin. They cannot forgive themselves, and that's what you just said, Bishop. And it perpetuates the guilt and the shame and the fear that they could last for decades. And unless you let the Lord God go in and heal you from your innermost being, I know what I'm talking about. There's no way, I don't know how you could actually live. It would be just too devastating.
This book is for you today, for somebody. I knew it. I knew it in the night. I knew it when God spoke to me about it, that this was, he said, I planned this program for several people.
For everyone.
And they need it today. And the scars of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in prison 5 years, and the loneliness eats at you when you're in a prison cell. And God helped me, and he helped me get through it all. But there's great scars from being lonely, and the scars of losing a loved one, which you talked about,
that was
Bishop.
Wow.
Yes.
Scars of humiliation.
Yeah.
Have you ever been humiliated? Do you know, I can remember being humiliated when I was a little boy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I could tell you stories, describe them to you. I mean, one comes to me right now. I'm 81 years old, and I'm a little boy walking up the stairways from the dining room when the dining room was there with all the family. Our families always rotated going to each other's houses for Sunday dinner. And I was walking up there, and forgive me for using this illustration, but I was a little boy, and I had to pee. So I unzipped my pants going up the stairs, and Uncle Charlie made fun of me. He didn't mean it by anything.
Sure.
And I can remember that to this day, the humiliation of that for me.
Right.
It means nothing to you right now, but to me it meant a whole lot.
Right.
And I remember being humiliated at different times, being in the courtroom, and the scars will get too much scar tissue if you don't get rid of it,
That's
I think,
right.
don't you, Bishop?
Absolutely, and this is why this whole show is designed today. There are people literally watching from around the world that's dealing with scars, and here's what you've done.
Yeah.
You've hid the scars.
That's right.
Yeah. But when I read about Jesus, Jesus shares the first scar story. He says to Thomas, put your hand in my side.
He sure
He was not afraid to share his scars, and Thomas put his hand in his side. But he can only heal what we reveal.
Mm. Oh, say that again.
He can only heal what we reveal.
That's
and most
it.
Of us try to hide our scars.
That's it right
yeah.
there. Well, people are afraid, like you said earlier, and you wrote it.
You've got to write for the book right now. Our time's
yeah.
gone
oh,
for the
you,
show.
Well,
almost.
Yeah, well, call.
And some of the histories behind the great hymns, we
yeah.
wanted to talk about them today.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to come back tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Yes.
We just can't get it all in today.
We could minister on this book itself, I mean, for
yes.
weeks, literally.
But the scars, I mean, we haven't even got to chapter 4 yet, so it's not... But the scars of humiliation,
yes.
the scars of shame and guilt, the scars of betrayal.
Mm. Oh, that one runs.
God.
That
yeah.
one, I think, it runs the deepest,
yes.
personally.
Yeah.
I think.
And it's hard.
Do you know my best yeah. friend?
Right?
Yeah. Number one.
I'll tell you that. God, I sound like a really sad person, don't I? And I'm not. I've had a great life. But yet, my best friend at Mornings at Heritage USA betrayed me.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend, another preacher, took my ministry, stole it from me, actually.
Yeah.
And this guy just walked right over to the new guy, you know.
Wow.
And I thought, boy, my best friend would stand with me.
That's right.
Jim,
if
that,
you've ever, anybody ever lost a friend, I mean, just somebody you really thought was your friend,
sure.
and they betrayed you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this is a scar, people.
Right.
We
got
to deal with the scars today and get happy, okay?
Yeah.
And rejoice in
us.
The Lord. And God's
mm-hmm.
got good stuff for us. Tell me about the hymn story. Mm-hmm. Like, so sweet to trust in Jesus.
It is so sweet
and
to trust
then
in
I'm going to have you sing one more song before we leave the air today. We're so happy to have Pastor Chopper Ward here
we
with
really
us today.
Are.
Louise Need watched from the shore as her husband tried to save a young boy drowning, her young boy. Both the husband and the boy was drowned.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1882, there was no food stamps, no social security, no help for widows with children. Amid their grief, she and her daughter, Lily, came to the brink of starvation, destitute, no way to get food, but God knew the circumstances and miraculously provided them food just at the right moment.
Mm.
She sat down that night and penned the words to this song,
mm.
'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
If you got scars, let God heal your scars.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Oh, for grace.
Pastor Chopper Ward.
Thank you, Pastor Chopper. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, that's my all-time favorite hymn. Yeah. And for you to sing that today.
You know, I was thinking.
And I'm like, my God, I need it more today than I've ever needed it in my life. And
last night, you and I have been going through so much with Grandma Shar's not doing well right now. And we're just going through a lot. And there's always struggle. Marcella.
Yes.
Who is the head of our ministry. We're going through another struggle here in the ministry, warfare. There's always something to fight. You know what I mean? Yeah. Isn't that right? You said so, Bishop.
Yes.
I ask you because I got to check with you. That's my bishop.
The anointing attracts attack.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yes. And I say, oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, for grace.
And I'm just... I think about hugging Jesus, you know. I don't know if you ever think about hugging Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, Jesus, how can you hug us all? We're so needy, all of us. Right. But somehow he hugs us.
Yes, right. He does.
And we show our scars to one another sometimes, and people laugh. Sometimes people don't get it. Mm-hmm. But he gets it.
Yes, yeah. He does.
He said he's touched by the feeling of our infirmity.
That's right. That's it.
And we, our time is gone for today's program. And Bishop, you'll be back.
We have so much to share. We
got a lot more to talk about.
Amen.
We didn't get halfway through what I wanted to do today. So we got tomorrow. We're going to try to get through more, because this is important. I want you to get this book.
Yes, it will heal you.
Can I say, so help me, God, I want you to get this book.
If you'll let it, it will heal you.
I want you to have it.
Yes.
I want everybody. And to pass it out, it's for $100, you can get Baker's dozen of them, would be a big SOS offering for us to save our stations. We're right now, we've gotten behind a couple weeks, and we need to get caught up this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody give $100 that can do it, and let me send you... And you become the missionary offering, and you're going to get a little card.
Yes.
You got my little card printed up.
That's right.
That says that you're a missionary. And we're having it so they can pass those out, because I don't know of a better. It's already written by the best writer I know.
Yes.
And you just pass this out, and you've got a book all written for the person. Believe me, it's going to touch them in so many places. Yeah. This is it.
And
this
Pastor,
is it.
You mentioned the card on missionaries right after she penned this song. Mm-hmm. She and her daughter, Lily, started as being missionaries in Africa.
Wow. Oh, my.
And out of the ashes of grief, now her scars have turned her into a missionary.
And that's right there.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah. So there are scar wars, and you've seen them. And you have scars, whether you admit it or not. You're
perfect. I admit it. I admit it. Like, my whole, it's all highlighted. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
I'm married to the perfect woman.
I've been through all these scars. I'm like, Bishop, how do you know me that well, you know?
But you know what? Scars you think are kind of disappearing, they pop up sometimes, and especially when you're hurting. Right. And we need to be healed of these. Right. And your book is healing.
It is.
Your book is healing to me.
Healing.
And just to know that others have faced the same ones that I have.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Well, I got
anointed.
So much to talk about in this next show. don't miss that $100 offering today. We got to have some help to stay on the air. And it's just troubled times in America.
Amen.
And our network has increased like crazy. We want to keep it on the air. And
he always
does. I wish I had more time today. Tomorrow, maybe I. But when we get to heaven, all those, even the scars are going to be gone.
Amen.
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 We won't even remember all that we've been through.
Mm.
Amen. So please do that offering today. The $100, just and do more if you can. And get 13 of the book offer. That includes shipping and handling, and pass them out. Everybody will love you for giving them this book.
Right.
If you want people to love you, you always want people to love you. Well, you give them this book, and they're going to love you because they're going to identify with, and it's easy to read. It's not some big dictionary.
Right.
It is a book that they will read.
Amen.
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 And if they need a summer read, this is the summer read for them. I have to go. I have to go. I don't want to go. I'm thrilled to have Pastor Chopper Ward here with me today.
Yeah.
What beautiful music. Beautiful music. Amen. I have to go.
So call us.
Bishop, thank you for being with me today.
I'm delighted
we love
to be
you.
Here. Can't wait till tomorrow.
Okay. God loves you. Call me right now. What's the number?
It's 1-888-988-1588 or go to the website, jimbakershow.com.
Stand with us. God loves you. He really does. Let him hug you right now. He loves you. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.